Aleluya. 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 If you weren't here in the beginning, my name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor at First Open Bible in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, which is this church. And it's a blessing. It's an honor. You know what I love when we're in worship and God just checks your heart. He checked my heart this morning. Church, we don't own anything, but we steward all things. Right? I might be the shepherd of this house, but this is God's church. These are God's people, and it's God's worship. Same thing with your life. I don't know what you are shepherding or what you are stewarding. But don't assume that you own anything. All things are because of God. Anything good that you have is God. Anything that you have received that is great is God. Sometimes people come up and say, oh, Pastor, or Harris, whoever, and whatever they're saying, or Sarah, both of us, you guys are great. I told somebody the other day, I said, dude, I'm not great. You wouldn't even like me. It's the God in me. This is Jesus that you like. And it was like at a store or something. They're like, okay. I said, receive it. Hallelujah. Take a break early in the name. Not really. But it's true. It's true, church. Don't get haughty. Don't get haughty. Don't get prideful. Well, then when God puts you in check. This morning, we're going to start a new series titled Identity in Crisis. Hallelujah. See, the world tells us one thing. Our friends and family tell us another. Our hearts often tell us something else, but only God can tell you who you truly are. Only God can tell you who you truly are. Becoming who God says you are is the only way to discover our true identity. When we lay down our perceptions of ourselves and thoughts of what others have said and allow God to tell us who we are, then we'll have a new identity in Christ. Once we uncover what that is, our lives will never be the same. Hallelujah. Do you guys hear a ringing and echoing? Or is that just me? Okay, I hear it up here. It's like, I don't want to hear myself that many times. Can I get an amen? Amen. What? I tricked y'all. Once we uncover our new identity in Christ, our lives will never be the same again. So place your false labels and your self-deception on the altar of God's truth. It's time to embrace who you are and become a living sacrifice, wholly surrendered to God. Are you ready and willing to discover what that is, church? Yes. Oh, sweet, seven people. If you're new here, we like talking back and forth. This is not a museum. This is not a library. You do not have to be quiet. If something resonates in your spirit, when you say amen, that means amen, let it be, I agree. Okay? So feel free, man. If it bubbles up on you, woo. You know, some people have told me, Pastor, man, this word was so good, I want to get up and dance. I was like, well, didn't you? What, somebody going to be scared about that? Man, if you got to get up and be like, oh, that's good, then do it, right? Act like you don't do it when no one's looking. Shoot. Father still sees you in here or out there. Get your praise on. Amen. Identity in crisis. So as Christians, we believe our identity is rooted in our relationship with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. Church, the new is here. Amen. Thank you, Joshua. It sounds so much better for me. Appreciate that. We are created in God's image. And our purpose is to know God and to make Him known. We glorify Him in all that we do because we are now brand new. However, in today's world, it can be easy to lose sight of our true identity. We are bombarded with messages from the media, social media, the devil, our flesh, and even our own peers, telling us who we should be and what we should be doing. It can be tempting to try to fit in with these expectations, even if it means compromising our values and our faith. But as Christians, we are called to be set apart from the world. Not against the world, church, but set apart for the world, just like Jesus was. But guess what? You're hated. And haters gonna hate, hate, hate. You are hated in the world because darkness does not like the light. We're called to not join in with worldly pleasures and worldly wisdom, but instead to live like Jesus lived. John 15, 18 through 19 says, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. That's Jesus speaking. He says, the world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. And Jesus says, I chose you to come out of the world so it hates you. It's a good word, church. I love to be hated. It's good to be hated for Jesus. We are set apart to have our lives reflect the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to live holy and separated from the evil of this world. And we can only do that if we know who we are in Christ Jesus. It's the only way you're going to do it. But for many, their identity is in crisis. For many, their identity has been in trouble for some time now. They feel lost. They feel confused in who they really are or what they should be really doing. Church, we find ourselves in a time and place that major decisions must be made. We're in a time where we need to stop being so offended and canceling culture because of our offense and start being self-reflecting and changing the culture instead. Do I need to say that again? Yes. We're in a time where we need to stop being so offended and canceling culture through our offense and start being self-reflecting and changing the culture instead. Yes. Identity in crisis. There are over 50,000 people a year who report that their identity was stolen in the United States of America, according to a report done by the FBI. In the year of 2021 alone, just 2 years ago, 51,600 victims of Social Security theft were took for over $278 million. Anyone who has ever walked through identity theft in their life knows, or maybe you know somebody who has, you know how hard it is to get your identity back and to make things right again. It's not easy. Church, your identity may be more important than you even understand. When you find your God-given identity, you will find your God-given authority. See, now we got church. Come on now. Amen. When you find your God-given identity, you will find your God-given authority. The goal of every Christian is to find, live out, and serve out of your identity. But there's a lot of things trying to steal your identity. There's a lot of things out there that are trying to give you a false one. See, identity theft happens when someone uses your personal or financial information without your permission. But church, how long have you been allowing the accuser of the brethren, or your past mistakes, or your past trauma, or your social media, or your pride, or hurtful words from others, steal your spiritual identity? How long, church? Some of you might not even know that your God-given identity has been stolen. Supernatural identity theft happens when you allow someone or something to steal or manipulate your God-given identity. And that's with or without your permission. Now, Jesus said in John 10:10, just in the beginning of this verse, it says, "The thief," that's today's sermon title, by the way, "the thief, his purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy." You see, the devil cannot create, but he constantly manipulates. He's a fraud, and his purpose is to get you to believe in something fraudulent. He wants to steal from you and destroy you so then he can try to kill you. Listen, just because you know your name does not mean you know who you are. You will always behave in the way that you see yourself. You cannot live right if you believe wrong. So the enemy wants to come after your identity. He wants to lie to you so he can steal from you, because he's a thief. Now, Jesus calls the enemy, the devil, Satan, Lucifer. Jesus calls the enemy the thief. It's interesting that Jesus gives an adjective here to describe the devil. You can oftentimes know the activity and the strategy of the enemy by giving names to the enemy. And Jesus calls our enemy the thief. I want you to think about it, church. Just think about it for a moment. All our major issues and evils that we see in the world today are through a false identity or a stolen identity that's given from the enemy. He does it either through our pride or through our pain. The devil's not an idiot. He doesn't steal everything, because that'd be really easy to spot. Instead, he steals strategically. The thief twists just enough that he manipulates God's creation into a lookalike, a counterfeit, a fraud, a perversion, an imitation of the real thing. But I'm going to visit more on that in an upcoming week, church. Let's go back to John 10:10. Jesus says more in this verse. He says this. He says, the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. But he says his purpose, he says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Amen. Jesus came to let you know who you are, so you can have a full, abundant, rich, and satisfying life in him. The only person that can accurately articulate who you are is the one that created you. Not even the ones that you call parents can do that. It's the one that you call creator. Let me read some verses in Psalm 139. Here's the first six verses of Psalm 139. If you open your Bible, you open it up right in the middle. You're almost to Psalms, or you're probably in Proverbs, but you're real close. If you open up your Bible, it's Psalm 139, and it says this, 1 through 6. It says, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know, that's for people out there watching online. Hallelujah. He knows you should be here. Hallelujah. You know everything I do. Yeah, I did it. I feel better. Verse 4. You know that what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. too great for me to understand. Now bump down to verse 13. So Psalm 139, verses 13, I'm going to read through 16. It says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and you knit me together in my mother's womb. See, this is why every believer who loves the Bible should not believe in abortion. Okay? Because it says right here, if you don't believe it, if you don't like it, or if you're hurt by it, get mad at God's word, not the preacher. Right? Don't manipulate God's word to make yourself feel better. But if you've walked through an abortion, God's grace is for you. It's for you. His love is for you. I don't even know what that hurt is like. I don't even know, but God knows. Give him your heart. But don't keep preaching that it's okay. Because it's not. That's not even what I'm preaching on. That's just for somebody in here today. Let me start over again. Psalm 139, 13 through 16. You made the delicate innermost parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was formed in the utter seclusion. And I was woven together in the dark of the womb. Only from a female. Verse 16, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. The only person that can articulate accurately who you are is the one who created you. The one that recorded all your days in his book before you were even born, church. If you want to live a full, abundant, rich, and satisfying life, the life that Jesus died for you to have, then you need to know your identity in him. Now, it seems like everyone's searching for something to tell them who they are, or where they belong, or who they should love, or who they should have lust for. And everybody's searching for something or someone to tell them how they relate to this world. Our culture is very interested in the journey of discovering individual identity. Our culture gives the utmost importance in discovery of who you are or who you want to be. Now, the Bible says in Genesis, all men and women, male and female, are created in God's image. In the image of God, we are created. Humankind was crafted and created to reflect God's virtues and his attributes. The Bible says our purpose in life is to know God and to make him known. It's not to discover your own truth or to live how you want to live. You can look for your identity anywhere. But true identity is only found in the one that created you. If you find yourself this morning struggling with who you are or where you belong, it may be because your foundation is not foundational. Your identity or your purpose is most likely found in something other than God. I'm going to take a side note here. And a lot of you have found your identity in what you do and not who you are. I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, I'm the leader of First Open Bible, but that's not who I am. That is what I do. I don't find my identity in that. And if I do, I'm going to lose sight of who I am in Christ. I'm a child of the living God. I'm a Christian, I'm a believer before I'm ever a pastor. Listen, where you work and what you do doesn't define you. And if that's all that you think that you are, you have an identity that's in crisis. That's for somebody in here today. Where am I at? First Open Bible. I'm in front of the pulpit. Hallelujah. I better say something. Are you ready, church? Here's the meat. Here's the meat. Let's expose and talk quickly about just a few areas we find ourselves having a crisis when it comes to our identity in God. You ready? You ready? You ready? You ready? I'm not going to say it until everybody's ready. You ready?
Yes.
Back row, you ready?
Yes.
You ain't back row. What'd you answer for them? Shoot. Back row, are you ready?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Closest to the bathroom. Hey. And if it gets too hot in here and I get too uncomfortable, I can bounce. Nobody going to see me. God still sees you. Number one. Move on, Pastor Harris. Number one, the enemy uses our issues to put our identity in crisis. First off, you need to know that God is still working on you. Just like he's working on everybody else. No one's arrived. So I'm going to look at you. Will you look at me? Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep pushing. Don't expect yourself to be perfect. Serve the perfect one. You ain't perfect. You'll never be perfect until you come into full glory in his presence with your new body. You'll never be perfect. But seek the perfect one. Don't give up. Don't compare yourself. Amen? Keep pushing, church. Keep pushing. Anyone who's honest enough can say this: I have issues. Look to your neighbor and say, I have issues.
I have issues.
See, you're honest. Now look at your neighbor and say, I know. I'm just playing. I'm just playing. Don't do that. Don't do that. Oh, man. It's got weird in here. Now, if you have offense in your heart, you bring it to the altar right now. Bring it. Anyone who's honest enough can say, I have issues. And I understand that God is still developing me. He is sanctifying me. He is pruning me. He is preparing me. And he is positioning me, even though I got some issues. Now, some of y'all have hung out with me before. You go, yeah, Pastor ain't perfect. And my wife says, amen. Somehow there's a choir behind her. Ah. Okay. It's true. It's true. But church, just because you have issues doesn't mean your issues have you.
Amen.
Just because they are in you does not mean they are you.
Amen.
See, Philippians 1:6 says this: I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. Ooh, he's doing a work. If you agree, say, he's doing a work in me. He is. He's doing a work in you. Your issues don't have to define you, but the enemy wants them to. He wants to redefine your identity so that way you identify with your issues. The enemy wants your issues to be more than tissues. He wants them to become your destiny. The enemy wants you to identify yourself with your imperfections. The enemy wants your issues to become your labels, to become how you identify. Now, the thief wants you to allow who you have been and what you have done to determine who you are and where you are going. But one thing I know about God is he doesn't allow your whole story to be determined by just one chapter.
Amen.
Amen. I am not who I was. And praise God, I'm not in the future going to be who I am now. He's doing a work in me. He's doing a work on me. Listen to me, church. You are not too far gone. You are never out of the reach of God's grace, ever. Death row can meet Jesus. You're not too far gone, and church, you have not done too much. Somebody needs to hear that. You have not done too much. You haven't gone too far. You haven't done too much. You are not so far lost and so far gone that he doesn't see you. He doesn't know you. Let me tell you, he sees you. He loves you. That's a lie of the enemy, that he's saying that you have gone too far and you've done too much. I am not able to be redeemed. That's a lie of the enemy. He can redeem the worst, the chief of sinners. He loves you. That's a lie of the enemy. That's a thief trying to steal your heart, steal your mind. You're not too far gone and you haven't done too much. Don't listen to the enemy who's trying to steal your identity. He's a liar and the thief. Your issues do not have to define you. See, Romans 8, 1 and 3 says this, 1, 2, and 3. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You're free. The law of Moses, right? The law was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. Nobody's going to follow it perfect. Right? All my cops say hallelujah. Okay. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. Made him flesh. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. That's the Jesus we serve. Amen. With Jesus, your history will not define your destiny. Stop letting historical pain, historical words, and historical curses define your God-given destiny. Don't let it do it. The enemy's a liar. Shut his mouth with God's word of truth. Yes. Shut your mouth, devil. Remember that? Yes. That was years ago. Shut your mouth, devil. Some of y'all remember that. It's just fun to say it like that. You should try that sometime. Shut your mouth, devil. Right? Make sure you end with devil or somebody around you and be like, you don't know me. All right, number two. Another way the enemy puts our identity in crisis is through opinions. Oh, I heard that. Oh, opinions. Sometimes it's me, sometimes the Lord's using me, and I told you, he's sanctifying me, he's setting me free, he's cleaning me up. All right, this happens, church. Your identity goes in crisis with others' opinions or opinions in general. This happens when we allow the voices of others to have more value in our life than the voice of God. The first commandment in the Ten Commandments says, have no other idols before God. But some of us have put people's opinions on pedestals and they sit higher than God's written word. Come on now. Came to preach. Stop anointing other people and giving them power to define what they did not create. Right? So many negative words have been spoken to you. So many negative words have been spoken over you and have been spoken about you. Either in a season of childhood, or season of failure, or season of pain, the enemy has put your identity in crisis by others' opinions. Now some of y'all have even spoke death to your own life. You've torn down what God has built up. You've spoke death to what God has given life to. You looked in that mirror and he spoke death into your life. Right now, ask God to forgive you. He will, but you got to ask. Ask God to forgive others. He will, but y'all got to ask. Take back the lies of the enemy. Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Anybody in the house today, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you have no right. I don't know what you're holding on to. I don't know who you think you're going to kill with that. You're only killing yourself. We just read the Word of God. You got no right. The Lord forgave you, so you must, not if you want to, you must forgive others. No matter what happened to you, no matter what people said to you, no matter the other opinions, no matter the pain, no matter how deep it goes, give them the roots. Then he can grow some fruits in your life. Come on now. Hallelujah. Church, listen. Don't allow people who didn't create you to define you. Do not allow others to withdraw in places they have no investment. You need to start saying in your life and in your heart, right here, this is what you need to say. Unless you made a purchase for my heart, you have no permanent place in my heart. I forgive you, I forgive myself, and I let it all go. Let me say that again. Unless you made a purchase for my heart, you have no permanent place in my heart. I forgive you, I forgive myself, and I let it all go. Amen. Some of you are stuck in the past, and that's all you talk about. Is God not doing anything now? Is God not about to do something amazing? He says, do you not see it has already begun? He's making rivers and dry wastelands. But you're so stuck in your past, you can't even see your present. And guess what? You will never have a future. Ooh. I forgive you. I forgive myself. And I let it all go. You were purchased by the blood of Jesus. And the naming rights have been given to God and God alone. No opinion has the purchasing power to rename you. You are His. Amen. Come on. Lastly, the enemy also uses our pride to put our identity in crisis. Now I realize there's a lot more things, but you don't want to hear me preach all day long. And really, I don't have that much time to write that long a sermon. So I picked three, okay? Here's the third one, pride. To put your identity in crisis. Confidence isn't always godliness. I love this. Just because you don't think low of yourself doesn't mean that you think right about yourself. One of the main tactics of the enemy is to get you to believe in the wrong identity, a false identity, like a prideful identity. But Pastor, I'm loved by God. Yes, you are, but that doesn't mean that you're better than. It means that His love has made you whole. But Pastor, I'm the head and not the tail. Yes, you are in your rightful position in Christ. And that position is one of servanthood, responsibility, sacrifice, and leadership. Yes. But Pastor, I'm above and not beneath. But that place is a place of not looking down on others. That place is a place to lift others up to where you are. But Pastor, I am chosen. And because He chose you, He has called you. Jesus died, not that one shall perish. You are chosen to tell the world about His freedom. But Pastor, I'm blessed. Yes, you are. You are blessed to be a blessing. Not blessed to be a material, superficial hoarder. See, church, God can't grow. You won't let go. Sow your seed. I know that was from the Holy Ghost. I got that this week, and I even did one of these in my office. Woo! Right? I don't know if Miss Sherry heard it or not, but I was like, woo! That's good. God can't grow what you won't let go. Sow your seed, church. Sow your seed. Why? Because eternal investments are the only investments that will last forever. All right, you ready? If you're only focused on you and your salvation and how God has rescued you and he has blessed you, but you can't see all the hurt around you and do something about it, you ain't ignorant. You prideful. I think I need to say that again. Then I'm about to go off because I feel it. Okay. Because this is my heart. It's my heart right here. This is the evangelistic heart God has given me. If you're only focused on you and your salvation, right? If you've been sitting in a pew eating the bread of life and you ain't handing any bread out, you're just drinking all the time because you don't want to be thirsty no more, but you ain't give nobody else a drink. If you're only focused on you and your salvation and how God has rescued you and blessed you, and you can't see all the hurt around you and actually do something about it, you are not ignorant. You are prideful. You get ministered to in here so you can go out and do the ministry. That's what it's for. You need a hospital? Here it is. You need a place to be equipped and put on that armor? Here it is. But if you think this is all that it is to be a Christian, your identity's in crisis. Show me one word in God's word where you don't go out into the world and preach the good news. Show me when it's all about getting fat with God's bread and his meat and not handing it out to other people. Show me in God's word where it's all about our blessings and not blessing other people. Tell me in God's word where it's not about get up, get out, and do what God's called you to. No matter if you're scared. No matter if you're afraid. No matter, right? Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For I am with you. I go before you in every battle. Be strengthened. Be encouraged. Go out and preach the good news. If you can't open your mouth at work or somewhere else, you're not ignorant. You're prideful. And you're like, Pastor, you don't know. You don't know. Listen, I worked 7 years in the secular realm before I came here. And I worked in a trucking company. And the F word, in other words, was in every sentence. And I'm like, I don't even know how you put that sentence together, but it don't make any sense. I was like, I don't know how you are you hyphenating these cuss words together? I don't know. But let me tell you, I never shot it. I got my work done. It says work for your bosses as if you're working for the Lord. So don't be like taking off and doing all these Bible studies when you're supposed to be working. But when God says do something, do it. I know what it's like. I know what it's like. Everybody looks at you funny. Nobody invites you to go out for the drink with the boys after service anymore or after church or work anymore, right? It's still true. Hey, Brett, come up, man. Hey, that's still true, too. Amen. But they don't invite you to do all these things. But let me tell you, when the family falls apart, they say, hey, Harris, can you meet me in the break room? Yeah, sure, what's up? And this dude that can't put a normal sentence together without a cuss word, he breaks down and cries and says, my wife's leaving me. I've been cheating on her. And what do I do? My family's falling apart. And I said, brother, right? Something rises up in me. It's called the Holy Ghost. And I was like, I can answer those phone calls later and I can ship those boxes later and they'll do their own thing. But right now this is the why I'm working here. Yeah, I'm getting a paycheck. But this is why I'm here. Right? I'm providing my family, but this is why I'm here. Right? Come on, light in the darkness, salt of the earth. I don't want to be prideful and pretend I'm ignorant. I think we've done an disservice to you from this pulpit to not encourage you to go out into the world and not like stir you on and just let you just do what you want. I don't read anywhere in God's word that says that's okay. Jesus is not like, just follow me if you want to. No, he says, come and follow me. He says, give everything and follow me. Everything. Well, I've served you since I've been rich young ruler. I've served you since I was young. I've done everything. Well, sell everything and go. He couldn't even do it. There's people sitting in church right now that can't do it. Some of y'all are being called to the mission field, and God wants you to sell everything and go, but you can't do it. Is it hot in here, or is it just me? I'm sweating for the Lord. I had to go there for a little bit. Church, I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm trying to encourage you. I want to stir your heart up. Listen, if you're like, I don't even know what to say, just tell them what God did in your life. That's all you got to say. Through the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, people get set free. Yes. The blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. Ask God for an opportunity. He'll give you one, but then it's your turn to step out of the boat. You got to get out. Don't be afraid. Be like, on the edge of the boat, hey, can you hear me? Nah, dude, they need you next to them, right? Here's a life preserver. Somebody else going to do it. Come on. Somebody else will do it, but God's calling you. He's calling you. Open their mouth. Open their mouth, God. Open their mouth. May the Spirit of living God be boldness inside of your heart that you can go out and preach. Let me tell you, if this week everybody in this house that's hearing this message went out and did something for Jesus, spoke about something for Jesus, every single day, if you did something like that, Cedar Rapids would change. Change. I don't want to get to heaven and hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant, but you know what? You made the sheep too fat. He didn't encourage them to give away some of the bread that they are eating. I ain't hearing that. I can't make you do anything. But on Sunday, you're sitting here and you're going to hear what I have to say. Because I believe it's from God, okay? Why? Because God loves you. He can use me, right? Ain't nothing special about me other than I said, God, here I am. Here I am. You can have it all. You can have it all. Here I am. Here I am. Say it again this morning. Say it in your heart, God. Say it in your heart, church. Give it to God. See, church, pride comes before a fall. Another way the enemy steals your identity is through your pride is when you get to identify with your offenses. I'm wrapping up. No one respects a person with zero accountability. Or a person who gives no effort on self-reflection and self-improvement. If it is everyone else's fault in your life and no one can give you constructive criticism, your identity is in crisis. If you have very little to no self-assessment in your life, man, I could have done that better. I could have said that better. God, forgive me. I need to go apologize. If you have very little to no self-assessment in your life, then your identity is in crisis because you got a pride issue. Listen, with Jesus, no one has no right to not change. No one has no right to not change. Why do I know that? Galatians 2:20 tells us this. My old self has been crucified with Christ. See, church, it's not no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Your life is to be a living sacrifice to Jesus, and you are called to pick up your cross daily and carry it. Not just point to other people and how to tell them how to carry their cross. Come on now. Ooh, do you see how they did that? Did you see what they said? Do you see how they're living? Pick up your cross. Quit telling them how to carry theirs. Pride is a silent killer that everyone else can see except you. Lay down your selfishness and your arrogance and pick up God's selflessness and compassion so you can continue to be more like Jesus. Here's the way you get your identity back from pride. Are you ready? This is how you get your identity back from pride. You consciously and consistently put your heart in check through God's word. That's how you do it. To be able to understand your identity as a follower of Christ, you need to understand how God sees you. Your true identity is ultimately based on what God has done for you. If you don't know God's word, you won't know what God has done, which means you won't know who you are. God wants you to find out for yourself by reading his word. I mean, how many times have you heard a sermon about reading God's word and you still haven't opened it? I'm telling you, right? I know, I've heard it before. It will change your life. It will. Honest. Okay, let's just be real. It's the only way your life's going to change. It is. Why is that, Pastor? Because identity is built in intimacy. You got to spend time with Jesus, church. Amen? All right, I've titled this conclusion. We need to remember that our identity is not based on our issues or others' opinions. It's not based on our appearance or social status or our job titles. Our identity is based solely on the fact that we are children of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:19 says, "So now you Gentiles," unless you're 100% Jewish, that's you. "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family." Praise God. My brothers and sisters, let us hold fast to our identity in Christ. Let us resist the thief. Let us resist our pride. Let us resist the temptation that the world has to offer. And instead, let us strive to live lives that honor and glorify our Lord Jesus. The world tells us one thing. Our friends and family tell us another. Even our own hearts oftentimes tell us something else. But only God can tell you who you truly are. So place your false labels and self-deception on the altar of God's truth. It's time to embrace who you are and become a living sacrifice, wholly surrendered to God. Church, will you stand? Worship team, will you come? And air conditioning, do me a favor. Hallelujah. It is hot in here. I don't know if y'all hot, but I'm hot. It's hot in here. Woo! Maybe it's the Holy Ghost. Thank you, honey. Maybe it's the Holy Ghost just stirring it up. Don't you love coming to church and hearing a word that's like, okay, I got to change. Some got to change in my life. I thought I was good and I thought everything was great. You know, everything is good and great, except for all those things that aren't good and great. Those got to change. You know, you can't change your circumstances, but you can. God wants to change you in the midst of them. Right? A lot of times, come on now. A lot of times we are praying that God will take away our trials and tribulations when all the while God wants to purify you in them. Amen. Sometimes he takes them away and sometimes he purifies you in them. And the Bible says that through all the trials and tribulations, do not have fear. Jesus says, "For I have overcome the world." You can trust in him. You can rely on him. He loves you, church. He loves you. Strong words like this is because he wants to see something change in your life. He loves you. You know the world needed Jesus, right? I'm going to end with this. The world needed Jesus. At the 2,000 years ago, the world was in chaos. There was this promise that's been held on to for thousands of years of this Messiah that is coming. And then Jesus came. And some identified with him. And some crucified him. And many denied him. And it's not much different than today. except for Jesus has already come. He's died. He's done everything he needs to do before his second coming. That's plan A. Do you know what plan A is right now? Think about it. What's plan A right now? Plan A for God and to spread his word and to spread his love and that people will meet heaven here on earth is through his church. You are plan A until his second return. You're plan A. Which means this. If you won't do it, nobody will. If you won't say it, nobody will. If you won't lay hands and love people like Jesus wants you to, nobody will. There are people being missed because we are prideful. Sometimes it's not that we're weak, it's that we're prideful, but God wants your identity to be found in him. I want to say this, who cares what other people think about you? With all due respect, church, I don't really care what you think about me, honestly. Like it hurts a little bit my flesh when you're like, you know, you say something, cotton-headed ninny muggins or whatever you want to call me, okay? Favorite Christmas movie. But what really matters is what God thinks of me. That's who I really, that's where I get my strength from. That's where I get my identity from. That's where I get what I can do here this morning. If I was worried about everything that you're going to think, I would have formulated this awesome thing to make you love me. But I don't want you to love me. I want you to love God. I want you to serve God. So just as easy as I say that, there are people waiting for you to say this. They're saying this without saying this to you. I don't care what you think about me. Tell me about God. I want to know about God. With every head bowed and eyes closed, I just feel a call with your hand. It's between you and God. If you say, God, my identity has been found in other things. And because of that, I haven't been living the life that your word says in John 10:10, a life full of abundance, a full life, a satisfying life. And because of that, I haven't been sharing the gospel. But here I am, Lord. You can have it all. I'm gonna be scared. I'm gonna be nervous. But most of all, I'm going to be obedient. If that's you today, with every head bowed and eyes closed, just raise your arm to the sky as a saying, I recognize that. God, I need you. Help me, help me. There's hands all over this place, all over the place. Father in heaven, every hand that is up, I pray you touch them from the tippy top of their fingers to the soles of their feet. Fill them with the presence and the power of the Almighty God right now. It says that there can be boldness and fire from heaven. So I pray that fire reaches them from the top of their fingers to the soles of their feet, all the way out. Rivers of living water will flow from their bellies. They will speak out. And when the devil comes to steal, they'll say, shut your mouth. And they'll speak God's word. And there's going to be lost and hurting and broken people where they're going to say something. As if God was standing there speaking to them, they will be used as vessels of the Almighty. Give them the boldness as they are scared, God. It is not easy to do what you've called us to do. But that is what it's called to have faith. We have faith in the things that we don't necessarily see, but the things that we hope for. There's people in this place hoping that their family gets saved. They're where they work, people get saved. There's people that are sick and hurting and dying. There are people full of cancer and sickness and disease. And they're just waiting, God. You're just waiting for us to bring God's truth into a situation so there can be revelation of God's word and demonstration of God's word. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We give you all the glory. And God, when this happens, because it will, when it happens, you receive all the glory. It's you, Jesus. It's you, Jesus. It's nothing good in me. It's you, God. It's you inside of me. Hallelujah. Church, give me your praise before you go today. Amen.